I'm speaking today with Grady Castleberry, who is running for Harris County Constable in Constable Precinct 1. Grady, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, I started looking at this office about 2 years ago, and the reason why I want to run, because it's time for some needed change in there. I felt it was time for a new direction, and the reason why I felt that way is because I have friends that work over there, and they said, they just flat out told me, Grady, it's just it's the good old bar system. It's not what you know, who you know, and what you can do for the constable. There's not a fair promotion system over there. They don't have a policy and ethics manual. It's just kind of by fly by night over there. You know, you wake up, if you do good for somebody, then, you know, you'll get a promotion or you'll be treated right. So that was one of the reasons why I ran. And the second reason is that I don't feel as though the constable was a presence in the communities at the time, but probably about the last 4 to 8 years. He just wasn't seen, you know, being seen. And as I was going about and asking, you know, visiting the churches and the civic associations and the parades and things, a lot of people didn't know who the constable were, but they knew who the chiefs were. And it's very obvious he wasn't running the office. He wasn't coming to work. And that's when I felt it was time for a new direction. It's time for the people that elected officials, for them to be in office and run that office and not someone that you put in place.
All right, well, you've kind of already anticipated one of my questions, which was, Constable Aversia is not on the ballot now for reasons we'll get into a little later. But you, I think actually all the people running in this race, filed to run before he stepped down. So you believe that this office has had problems, putting aside the legal stuff, which, again, we'll get to a little later. You believe that this office has had problems and has needed a change.
Well, like I said, I don't know what the internal problem was going on. I just know what I was being told and what I've seen as far as the lack of visibility, not coming to the civic club meetings, the HOA meetings, the churches. And when you get several people telling you, okay, I don't even know who my constable is. Yes, I'll vote for you. I don't even know who it is. When you don't see them around at the Christmas programs or, the Martin Luther King Day programs, parades and things of that nature. You know, when you elect someone, I feel as though you are a public official and you should come out. You shouldn't wait, 4 years to come back and say, oh, okay, look what I've been doing in the community. They should already know.
Okay. What is your background in law enforcement?
I have 21 years of police experience. I've been with the sheriff's office 21 years. I'm currently a sergeant. I supervise about 80 deputies. I'm the contract liaison sergeant for the sheriff's office out on the west side of town. And what that simply is I'm the liaison between the MUD boards, HOAs, and the sheriff's office. If there's a problem, then I'm the one to try to, resolve it. Or like if someone called me and said, hey, Grady, we had a rash of burglars last night. Okay, then I got to get with the deputies. We create some kind of program or some kind of hotspot, targeted patrol. And then we all try to tackle that. And then I make the HOA meetings. I make the MUD board meetings and the National Night Out. So I'm that public figure for the sheriff's office when it comes to the contract programs out in District 4, the contractual program, rather.
Okay. And, talk to me a little bit about what it is that the constable actually does.
Well, the constable has two functions. He has the patrol side, which we call the criminal side, and he has what we call the civil process side. Starting with the patrol side, the constables probably came into the patrol side probably about, which we would call field operation side, during the time that Kathy Whitmire was mayor, and they had wanted more officers on the streets. So Commissioner's Court allowed them to go out and contract with neighborhoods, and that's how the actual patrol side of the constables really started. And then the toll road started getting up, and then, they contracted with the constables, and so now you're seeing more police officers on the street. So, and then as time went on, it grew, people started liking them, so it's, hey, we can hire the constables for a 70-30 type contract where they spend 70% of the time in the neighborhood and 30%, for the constable. And so they started liking that, and things started rolling. And then Commissioner's Court started giving them what we call district slots. And what they would do is they would just go around when there's a certain type of problem going on. If someone complained about speeding or whatever, the constable would, send them over there. So that's the field operation side of it. Then his other side is the civil process. And if you like, you know, all the constables, all eight of them have are responsible for two courts, two JP courts, justice of the peace. And they are the constable is responsible for serving all warrants that come out of all misdemeanor warrants. He's responsible for executing all of the civil processes, like a writ of certification, writ of what do you call it? Writ of I forgot one that what it is. It's the writ to where they would go and take stuff back, you know, things like that. So he's responsible for all of the civil process that happens within his precinct. And so that's pretty much what the constable does. Now, what's unique about Precinct 1 constable office is he's responsible for all of the mental health warrants that are filed within Harris County. And so if someone files it on the west side of town or east side of town, Precinct 1 constable is going to be the one to execute that warrant.
And the reason for that is?
I'm not really sure. I don't know how it came about. I think being that it's the, you know, the central constable unit, being downtown, the central Houston area is basically where Precinct 1 is. I think Commissioner's Court may have awarded it to him. I can't say why they got it, but I think that may be the main reason, because all of downtown where the courts are is where Precinct 1 is responsible. So all the warrants are filed there. And I think they just take it to, being it's already in the courts, I guess it's easier to get to Precinct 1, but don't hold me to that. But ever since I've known, it's always been the mental health unit for the constable Precinct 1.
Okay. Now, you've already talked a little bit about the way you understand this constable's office to be run and mm-hmm. ways that you know. I want you to talk a little bit about how you would improve that and what other, you know, sort of give me an overview of, you know, how this constable's office handles the functions that you talked about it does and where you see room to improve them.
Well, the first thing that if I'm elected or when I'm elected is I want to go there and create a working environment to where the deputies and employees there want to come to work. Right now and in the past, they have been coming to work on pins and needles. If someone has a bad day, they may not have a job. So the first thing I want to do is let them know, okay, if you come to work and do your 8 hours and do the citizens of Precinct 1 a good job, you're going to have a job. You don't have to worry about getting fired anymore, okay? Grady Castleberry is not going to fire you, okay? Grady Castleberry is not going to release you. You're going to do that yourself. The second thing I would want to do is create a department and policy and ethics manual. Because right now, they go on memos. So no one knows what I've done wrong because there's nothing that lays it out. Okay, so the second thing I want to do is create a department and a manual so the deputies will know what the rules and regulations are. And the third thing I would like to do is set up an internal affairs program. Okay, and then the reason why I want to do that is because that way the deputies will feel that they got an equal chance of, okay, well, they know that is going to be, you know, investigated properly, and that, okay, it won't be just be okay to come to call, okay, the constable say that you fired. It will be a thorough investigation done into whatever, you know, needs to be investigated. And then at that point, my staff and I will make a decision on what type of punishment, if any, needs to be done. And those are the three things I think that we need to do internally. Now, externally, I would like to start, the first thing I would like to do is get a hold of our youth. Because being a police officer for 21 years, I'm here to tell you I've seen as young as 8, 9 year old, you know, committing crimes that an adult would. So I know that we need to start at a young age with the youth, and that's why I want to start work with the after school programs, the civic associations, work with the Boys and Girls Club. Because when I was coming up, that's what I would say helped me out a lot. Because when I got out of school, you know, we went straight to the Boys and Girls Club right there off of Jensen and Aldine Wedgefield. And it was a lot of programs there that kept, you know, us busy. You know, to me, an idle mind is, something that, allows you to do a lot. You know, and I see these kids come in at the sheriff's office in District 4 where I work on the west side all the time. All the time. I mean, as 8, 9, 10 years old, I saw a 9-year-old come in probably about a month ago for kicking someone's door in. Okay? And so that's why we got to start with the youth, and that's going to be one of my number one programs. Second thing I want to do is create a dynamic crime prevention unit. And the reason why I want to do that is simply because if we can educate the community on how to better, you know, protect themselves, then they'll be less likely to be a victim of, you know, crimes. Because the best way to, you know, to reduce crime is to prevent it from happening. And I think education is the key. It starts with us being, you know, law enforcement, educating the community, and that way they'll be better prepared. You know, something like simple as taking the key out of your door. Like I was at a National Night Out event not too long ago, and the lady had her key in the back door. And she says, oh, it never comes out. Well, I turned, locked it, and pulled it out. She says, well, I never even thought of that. Well, the, you know, the average crook will come, you know, and all they're able to do is what we call punch lock. I mean, punch pop the window, reach around, unlock, and then they're in. So something as simple as that, you know, okay, getting the window locks, things of that nature. You know, taking a different type of alarm placard, like if you got Brinks alarm, okay, put AT&T alarm placard inside the window. So that way someone working, they used to work for Brinks, now they're thinking that you got AT&T alarm. Okay, now they got to go another route of trying to get in. So things like that, trying to educate them. And it also, if we come out and we give you this, you know, this house assessment, you can take that to your insurance and you get a discount. And so that's why I want to do that, better educate them. Then last but certainly not least, I want to create this program with the ministers. They are the pillars of the community, our mouthpiece. When the citizens don't want to come to the police, they'll go to the ministers and they'll tell them what's going on. So I want to have monthly meetings with them, sit down with them, okay, tell me the problems that you all are hearing out there. Okay, and then once I get the problems, okay, let's come up with a solution to try to better effect it, to get them under control. And then I'll take what we talked about with the ministers, go back with my staff, and then we'll put together a plan, and then we'll, you know, try to tackle those things that are happening out there. And that all comes up to me wanting to bring community policing to the precinct one constable's office.
Okay, now The county, of course, has been operating under some budget constraints the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. What's the financial picture look like for the constable's office, and where do you see opportunities to find savings?
Well, we all are under budget crunch, not only the constable's office, but the sheriff's office. And I know all budgets have to be cut, okay? But if you are a fiscal manager, you can make things happen, okay? It's just that you have to use what you got wisely. And I know that because of the situation we're in here at the sheriff's office. Now, yeah, I know I have some programs that I want to get in and, you know, to get started. And I know it'll probably be a crunch, but I can take some from here, some from these other programs, and then I can create this. Okay, well, I can take two officers maybe from the warrant program, and then I can put them over my youth program. Well, I think, you know, that wouldn't be bad because we are, you know, saving the youth. You know, those warrants are there, and then some of them going to be there. But I know over here that I am making a difference with the youth. So you can rob from Peter to pay Paul and get things done. And second of all, I know that it's all how you present it to commissioner's court. If I go to L. Franco Lee and say, hey, I got this program I want to put together, and it's involving the youth, and what we're going to do is after school, we're going to have school resource officers. We're going to go meet with them, and we're going to make sure that they get on the bus, and the ones that's not on the bus, we're going to make sure they have some kind of program going on with the school or at the barge club. And all I need is five deputies, you know, to get this started. Okay, well, he says, well, I can't give you five. Maybe I can give you three. Well, that's three more than what I have. So it's all about how you present it to commissioner's court. And one thing I know about the commissioner's court, if they give it to you for that specific point, then that's what you know you need to do with it. You know, so don't go in, you know, if you're going to go to the store and I send you there for bread, you know, bread and eggs, and you come back with ice cream and chips or something. So so that's what I know. Hey, if they give it to you, that's what you need to use it for.
Okay. Now, there's been a lot of talk lately. I came up in the Houston mayor's race in 2009 and the sheriff's race before that, about the ability of different law enforcement agencies to interoperate, to use the same equipment, to, share resources, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you see opportunities for the constable's office to do better on that?
Well, the first thing I think they need to do is we need to institute a program to where we train together, the sheriff's office has an academy. HPD has an academy. The constables send some of theirs out to Fort Bend, or they'll send them out to Pasadena Academy. Okay, and then what I would do is say, okay, I want a partnership, you know, partner with the sheriff and HPD. Okay, how come our guys, okay, Constable Precinct 1, which, you know, involves the sheriff's office, the HPD, Metro, everybody is right there, downtown, Central Houston. So we all should be going to the same academy, okay, getting taught by HPD guys, getting taught by the sheriff's office. So that way, when something does happen and we come together, we on one accord. As far as the radios, I've been told that that's a price issue, and that would be something that would have to be done by commissioner's court. So I really don't have, an answer for you on that, other than it would take the powers to be to say, okay, let's get on the same frequency. I hear that we pay for a certain frequency, HPD pays for a certain frequency. So I would like to see it to where we don't want to call with that, to where we could just flip the channel and then we own HPD's channel. But so far, it hasn't happened. But it starts with training. And then the third thing is, I think the department heads got to come together. And they have to sit down and say, okay, how can we work as one instead of working as individuals? Trust me, I've been on patrol 17 of the 21 years that I've been with the sheriff's office. And I hate to say it, it's like, okay, the sheriff's office got this area, okay, city of Houston don't want to come here, Metro, has the bus lines, okay, send it to them. That shouldn't be. I think we need to all work together. If the sheriff's office or if the HPD not available, constables need to go get it. My guys will go get it, okay? It's not going to be, that's not in our area. Okay, well, no, you are a police officer. And that means you can, here in Harris County, that means you can do anything. Okay, you're not bound there. It used to be you have to, your jurisdiction. Not anymore,
Well, then at a higher level, sort of philosophically, why do we need a separate constable's office? Why is it that we have a separate constable's office and these functions are not, part of what the sheriff's office does?
Well, the sheriff's office is more on the criminal side. They are the criminal side of the law, just like the city of Houston, is the HPD. The constables, has that aspect of civil process. And before, prior to Kathy Whitmire, trying to put more boots on the ground, so to speak, the constables were pretty much civil. That's all they did. Okay, that's their job. They are civil process servers. But like I said, the constable office got into the patrol aspect when they were trying to put more police officers on there. Now, why it's that way, it's all about district precincts, because you got to file within your precinct. That's where you got the local JPs. So the JP courts have to have someone to serve their warrants. Okay. See, the sheriff office serve out of the courts, which is like district courts, county courts, and things like that.
Okay. So, you talked a lot during this conversation mm-hmm. about different ways that you want to reach out to the community, talking to the ministers, with the HOAs, and so on and so forth. Looks to me like right now the web page for Constable Precinct 1 doesn't have a whole lot useful on it. How do you see opportunities to make better use of technology, the internet, to do the job?
You're talking about the current constable's web page?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would have, redo mine. I don't know if you saw mine or not, but it would definitely be redone. And it would be more community-oriented, okay? It'll be thing for after-school programs. It'll be opportunities like I would have what you call on-call ministers. If someone just want to call, they may, we have all the time people call thinking they want to, take their life. Okay, well, you can go there and you can see a number of a minister. You can, you call dispatch and they'll have that minister call you. Okay, things, basically, I want it to be where someone can go there and they can find out, something that the sheriff office do. We have what we call a crime stats page where you can, but what I want to do is set that same program up to where they can go and click on that, and then they can enter their address, and then they can see all of the latest crime happening within the 30, 60, last 90 days. Those are the type of things that I would do to my page and allow them. And also, you'll, be able to read about your command staff. Okay, who's over what? Okay, if you want to meet the constable, you shouldn't have to go take you a week to be able to meet the constable. Okay, you should be able to go to the website, send a request in, and then within a day or two, someone should be getting back with you. Okay, well, here's the days that he's available. So I would make it more community friendly, yes. Okay. That's me.
What is your view of the situation with the current constable, where he was under FBI investigation, mm-hmm. he's been arrested? What do you know about that, and what do you have to say about it?
Well, all I know is what I've seen in the news, and I would say that the constable have had a distinguished career. 41 years, I think, is how long he's been there. And if what is said on, if what have been said is true, then it's a sad way to end a distinguished career. But it's a lesson to all that's in office and all of us that are running for office and to any elected official. You're not above the law just because you are elected. You are held to the same respects as someone, as a Joe Blow walking the street, or as the person that's, you know, speeding down the roadway. If you're stopped, you're speeding, you're issued a citation. Well, just because you're elected official doesn't mean you can do things that that would be against the law, because at some point it's going to get out. I mean, you can't just keep doing wrong and think it's not, you know, it's not going to get out, especially as an elected official. So I think it's a lesson to be learned for all of us. It's sad that it had to happen that way, but, you know, it's a lesson learned for all of us that's in office, running for office, and all elected officials to me.
I mean, the issue generally seems, you know, in this case and in other cases I've seen, generally seems to be, you know, the elected official, in this case the constable, mm-hmm. you know, doing business with a friend in a way that's, you know, mm-hmm. not acceptable. You know, is this a procedural issue, are there some procedures and processes that are supposed to be followed that need to be reviewed and improved? I mean, or was this just a rogue person?
Well, I don't know what, like I say, all I know is what happened. I mean, what I saw on the news. So, and right now it's in the court. So we don't know if it's true.
I mean, I guess
or not.
Let me put it to you this way. Since you talked about, a training and ethics manual, mm-hmm. you know, what should apply to the constable?
Well, what should apply to the constable is what applies to all police officers. Okay, you are swore to uphold the law, and then you are supposed to, swore to uphold and protect citizens against life, you know, property and crime property, things like that. And that doesn't, basically, it tells you you are not above the law, like I said earlier. You are held to the same laws that everyone else in the United States are. Okay, you are not exempt just because you're the constable, a sheriff, or a judge. And to be quite honest with you, you are held higher than just your regular Joe Blow citizen, because you know better. You've been to the academy. We went there for 5-6 months. Okay, they tell you all this. All this is laid out for you. You know, like I went to this leadership and this leadership class, and it tells you all that. Okay, well, if you walk in a store and someone says, "Oh, okay, you know what? You don't have to pay for that." You know, just like a cup of coffee in the stop and go. Well, is that showing good ethics? Okay, how many other people gonna walk in behind you and saying, "Okay, well, is he only getting that just because he's in uniform?" Okay, you are held to the, if not higher, to the same laws and ethics as anyone else is. And I think as an elected official, you ought to know better, because you are leading a group of people. And then I feel as though you should set the example. So what are you saying to your subordinates and your command staff? And what are you saying to the constituents that put you in office?
Okay. And, you know, you have three opponents so far for this primary. There, mm-hmm. there could be others by the time they do the next filing period. Mm-hmm. Why should people vote for you in this primary to be the next constable in Precinct 1?
Well, people should vote for Grady Castleberry simply because he's a man of his word. Okay. If you go back and ask anybody to work for me, if I tell you that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to sit up here and sell you a bunch of stories and then, okay, come back later and say I couldn't do it. I can't promise something that I can't deliver. Second thing is, I'm outside. I've never worked for Precinct 1, and I think it is time for someone to come in from the outside and bring fresh ideas. Third thing is, I'm a full-time police officer. Been a full-time police officer for 21 years. I've came to work every day as a police officer, you know, 8 to 5 or 7 to 2, 6 to 3, or just whatever shift I work. I have had no other outside interest. This is my passion right here. Grady Castleberry has been a 21-year veteran as a police officer. I'm a man of my word. I am fair. I'm firm, and I will not treat anyone like I didn't want to be treated. And I think that is why I would be the best person for this job.
Okay. Grady Castleberry, thank you very much for talking to me today.
No problem. Thank you.